strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 20th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today, Mary. How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here, excited to talk about some Big Brother. I've been hitting a couple slow days on my updates, but you know, we'll talk about it. We'll see what happens.
Yes, definitely a slower day here in the Big Brother Canada 9 house. I guess the oddballs are crumbling. It took a long time to get to nominations, which is part of this. But here we are. It's day 21 in the house, and Kiefer's HOH. He's got it.
Yep, he's got it. You know, I think we had talked last week about a couple scenarios that would have been interesting for HOH, and Kiefer being HOH, while it did flip the house back again, wasn't necessarily the most riveting outcome that could have possibly happened. There's been some interesting gameplay. I think probably the most that it's shown me is that Kiefer is playing better than it looked like he was last week for the most part. But yeah, how fast the sides just flip on each other. And I mentioned this last night on your Twitch stream, but there's a lot of delusion on both sides of the house right now.
I do think that this week is we're kind of paying the price a little bit for the lack of ability to play the game in the house, because there's plenty of game talk yesterday. It's just that so much of it is so wrong that it's pointless.
What I wrote down, I think this is a really good way to sum it up, is most of the game talk that people have, particularly when they're talking with their own side, not cross sides or when people are talking to Kiefer, but particularly when people are talking with their own side, they tend to talk about what they want to happen. Like when they talk about scenarios, they say, oh, well, if this happens for the renom or if this person wins the veto, and they just go through scenarios that would be good for them and that they want to happen. And they really don't seem to think at all about what the actual HOH or veto holder would do. And at this point, they keep saying a line has been drawn. A line has been drawn. We know who's with who. And yet they kind of don't, because even when Kiefer won, they're like, well, there's not another side. It's a bunch of pairs, but we can split them up and bring people over or whatever. And then that side that should be a firm, solid side, the oddballs, are basically acting like they're just a bunch of pairs. What are you guys doing? But the number of times I had to listen to Ro and Kyle or Austin and Brayden talk about well, we can still manage to get Beth up as a renom. How? Just because that's good for you doesn't mean that would be good for Kiefer. And you're not thinking about this at all. They're only thinking about scenarios that work for them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a choice. Well, we started the day with Kiefer, Ty, and Jed. Kiefer was talking about Kyle as his target. He is going to pretend, though, that Ro is his target. He's going to let people believe that Ro is his target. And that way, you know, Ty and Jed can kind of get in with Ro and kind of be like, you know, Ro, we know you're the target, but we would like to save you this week. And then when he stays, great. They are the ones that were in with Ro. They ask him if they could use the veto potentially. And he was like, well, no, I would prefer the veto not used, actually. So I'm not nominating three people on my HOH. That would be nice. Then they talk about how it's they're the pretty boys and Kiefer is the mark, but he's actually winning all the comps. So he's looking like he's Dane.
Yeah. Now I think there's a couple interesting points here, and you mentioned some of them with Puya yesterday, but first off, this is an exact repeat of what happened last week. of the HOH saying, I'm going to put these two people up and tell the side that's going home the opposite of what I actually want my target to be, in the hopes that when the person stays, we could potentially pull certain people over to our side. Now, what I would like to ask Kiefer about that is, Kiefer, they told you that you were not really the target and that you were going to stay. How's that working for you? Did that make you want to work with the people who kept you here? Because it so far doesn't seem to be. He's not like the oddball side. Their biggest argument this week is like, look at the people who voted you out, which are Beth and Jen and Ty. And Kiefer is saying, yeah, but that's still my alliance. I'm going to work with them. And, you know, it's a little more nuanced than that on Kiefer's side. But Kiefer is not like feeling particularly like he owes Austin or Brayden or Kyle or Roe anything for keeping him. So I just think it's funny that they're employing the exact same tactic and expecting a different outcome than what just happened to them.
I will say, though, I actually disagree, because I think the tactic is sound. It's that Victoria's execution of it was a complete disaster, where because here's the thing. I think that Kiefer is not explicitly saying Roe is my target. Roe is the one I want gone. He's not telling Roe, I want you gone. Kyle, I want you to be safe. Or whatever. He's just kind of letting people infer, right? So that's one thing. Whereas Victoria was like, guys, I need Kiefer out of the game because he lied about me. And so that's one thing. Second is how they're approaching it. And this is something that I did want to talk about today, which is that all throughout the day, Kyle and Ro are just like, how could Kiefer not want to work with us when we voted to keep him? Because you never talked to him. You didn't talk to him all week. In fact, when you did talk to him, you were interrogating him. Like, that's why he doesn't want to work with you. Not because you can't just vote for someone having never spoken to them and expect their loyalty. So the plan, the play that Kiefer is mentioning to Ty and Jed is talk to Ro all week long. Be his friend. Be the only person he has to lean on. And then you might be able to pull him in after Kyle leaves. And I think that's a good play.
Yeah, I mean, that is better. I just think it's like on paper, it's funny how the same thing is happening. And it's like, it's what you're saying. It's that two people making the same move can make it very differently, and it can work for one, not work for another. I think the main caveat here, I'll say, is like that you hear Jed and Ty, and somewhat Kiefer, but mostly Jen and Ty, talking a lot about how, like, oh, Ro is going to love us because we saved him. And that's the part that I don't think like lands super well, is that I don't think, like, if I'm on the block and someone puts me on the block, if there's a chance I'm going home just because they choose to keep me and vote out my ally, it's not going to make me like endeared to them because they kept me. Like, that's not, I feel like in Big Brother, that's never a good sell of like, oh, well, we could have voted you out, but we chose not to. So I do think that, yeah, they could become really social with Ro and pull him in, and that could be a good thing and at least have that bond there. But I don't think it's going to like make Ro immediately want to ditch everybody else that he likes. You know, he's going to look at that more of like, oh, this is a good tie, not I'm going to completely jump, not tie, like T-Y. Man, it's confusing when people have names that are also words.
It's anyway. Definitely overly optimistic, as the Sunsetters tend to be. I also think that for Kiefer in particular, like, this is one of those plans where it's like, I can appreciate where Kiefer's coming from with this. I think it's a good plan. Kiefer is looking to sort of milk as much out of this HOH as he can. The problem I have with it for Kiefer particularly is that it doesn't really do anything for Kiefer particularly. It helps Ty and Jed. It doesn't really help Kiefer for Kiefer to imply to Ro that Ro is his target and let everyone else take credit for keeping him safe. That helps Ty and Jed. It doesn't help Kiefer. And I am becoming increasingly concerned that Kiefer really is still playing this game for Ty and Jed and the Sunsetters more so than for himself individually, despite the fact that he's not doing what they want him to do. It's right. Almost like he's like, guys, you don't know what's good for you. I'm going to do what's good for you. which is basically what he's telling them, and it's basically what he's doing, but it's not necessarily what's good for him.
And that's something else we can talk about, which is what should have been Kiefer's optimal move here, because the truth of the matter is, while Victoria did not play her cards great last week, and neither did the Oddballs, neither did the Sunsetters. The Sunsetters were talking to Kiefer and about Kiefer like he was leaving all last week. They made it very, very apparent that they would have rather kept LaToya in the game. They made it very apparent, even to LaToya, that Jed and Ty's relationship was to each other first, more than her, because otherwise Jed would have taken LaToya off the block if he was actually closer with her than Ty and risked him going up. And at this point, they even, you know, still seem to have better relationships with Beth than necessarily Kiefer. So it's interesting because I think yesterday we were like, oh, great, Kiefer is sidling back in with Tara and Tina. That's a good move for him. It's good that he's keeping these relationships open. But today I got a little bit of feeling like he's spending a lot of time with Ty and Jed, and he's really leaning into that. And when I watch their conversations, they will say things like, Ty and Jed will say, oh, the other side thinks that you would not want to work with us because we voted you out. But little do they know that we're so close, and that like they didn't know we existed and we're this type three, et cetera, et cetera. And to me, that is so transparent to Kiefer of like, Kiefer, they're trying really hard. It's working on you, but they're trying really hard to make you forget about the fact that you are way, way on the bottom of the totem pole here. And you could realistically, like, I don't think anybody would blame you if you chose to ditch them because of how they treated you last week as well. Like, Kiefer's in a tough spot. And I wish he was, yeah, playing the field a little bit more for himself of trying to get in with all people in the house, as opposed to like, all right, I'm going to be Sunsetter strong, and then the Oddballs can go down. Like, this is a perfect opportunity for him to say, nobody treated me last week well, y'all all need to come appeal to me, and I will form whatever alliance I feel like because of that.
Yeah. And I want to say, these are just concerns of mine. Kiefer is still in a place where he might end up doing, you know, the right thing for his game strategically. But the reason I'm concerned, one of the other reasons I'm concerned, I keep hearing him talk about Ty and Jed to Tina and Tara, and the way that he talks about them in a way, like where he tries to explain why he's not more loyal to them than to Tina and Tara, is that he says, oh, well, I know that I'm on the bottom of that totem pole. I know that they wanted Toya to stay, so on and so forth. He's not saying the real reason that I would be concerned if I was working with Ty, Jed, and Beth, which is that you can't beat them in the end. Strategically, take away the emotion, right? Because I don't think Kiefer really cares all that much about whether or not they wanted Toya to stay or whatever. I don't think that Kiefer is going to take things too personally. There's a reason why he wants Kyle out and not Ro, despite the fact that he likes Kyle a lot more. He's a strategic thinker. And the fact that he's not giving a strategic reason to Tina and Tara as to why he wants to work more with them than with Ty, Jed, and Beth concerns me. He should be saying, why would I want to go to the end with those three? Not only am I at the bottom of the totem pole, but they're all huge competitors and great social players. It would be hard to beat them in a jury vote. Like, we are on a much better, like, we're on the same level. He kind of talked about that with Tina and Tara, talked about wanting an average person to win, but he's never really expressed strategically why it's a bad idea to go to the end with the Sunsetters as they were.
You know who's actually doing way better this week than I thought they would so far? Is Victoria, somehow. Like, somehow Victoria has not immediately become the target.
Well, she is the target. She's the target for almost everyone in the house except for Kiefer. She got very lucky with this HOH win.
Yeah, she got lucky with Kiefer, but she's actually, like, talking to people. And, I mean, I think it's, I just think it's funny that she, while I'm sure, like, Jed and Ty don't actually want to work with her or anything, you know, at least she's, like, calmed down a little and is trying. I mean, Austin and Brayden did exactly what you thought, which is that they're, like, Victoria who? What?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's pretty funny.
And Victoria has now accused Austin of throwing the HOH, which has not been a great thing for the Glossy Posse.
No. Yeah. But I just think it's funny that, like, I was expecting her to just be like in, you know, constantly in everyone's mouths. But it, you're right. It's interesting that, I mean, for Kiefer, yeah, he doesn't really have any huge reason to put her up except for the fact that she put him up, but she put him up as a pawn. But I just, like, I was expecting her name to come up more than it even did for people talking about, like, who could we get him to renom? Like, it's not, there's a lot of arguments of here are the people who voted for you, and when they're actually talking to Kiefer, like, when people approach Kiefer, there's just not as much throwing Victoria under the bus as I thought there would be.
Yeah, Kiefer has not done a great job of implying that Victoria is a possibility for nominations. Like, his plan was to try to make it seem like he was willing to put Victoria up, but people have sussed out pretty quickly that Victoria is not going to be going up. Just the fact that she's not going up right away is telling people that something is off. Like, the fact that he's not nominating her must mean that he doesn't want to nominate her. And, you know, we had Rohan at the start of the day yesterday saying he felt like it was going to be him and Vic on the block. But once they talk to Kiefer, they're like, I don't think he's willing to put Vic up. Like, maybe we should start throwing Austin out up there instead.
Yeah, I just think for Kiefer, like, the way that the two sides of the house were last week, neither one of those sides is really perfect for him. He needed to make either a new group or just better relationships with both sides without picking a side, because I don't think that he should have, like, flipped to the oddballs. Like, that wouldn't have necessarily benefited him long term either. I it would benefit him more in the very end of the game, because I think there's more people on that side he could beat. And I don't disagree with his move of putting up Roe and Kyle. I just don't love that if he's solidifying himself so far with the side that clearly has fewer numbers, knowing that Tina and Tara will probably jump back to the oddballs if the oddballs win HOH next week. Like, he could easily be put up again in the future if the Sunsetters lose the next HOH. Like, if it does actually flip back. Like, when you have a house that's two-sided and could flip back and forth, even though they're flimsy sides, you need relationships on both sides so that you can still minimize your possibility of being put up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as we move forward in the day here, as I said, Kyle and Ro do make pitches to Kiefer. They're pretty generic. There's nothing to really talk about here, but
it went one on one. It was so different. Yes. They didn't go in together.
He says they said the same thing, though. Kiefer's not really here. He tells Kyle that the only people that were nice to him last week were Tina and Tara. And he tells Ro that he's open to a backdoor option. But these conversations let Kyle and Ro know that they will be going on the block. And again, the fact that he's not nominating Victoria is telling them that Victoria might not be the backdoor option. There might be some backdoor option. Maybe they could get him to do Beth, but probably not. They are going to talk with Austin a bit later about, and Brayden, about, like, we need to make sure that it is Victoria that goes up as the backdoor option if the veto is used. But as we know, that's not actually going to happen. But they still think that there's a possibility.
The fact that Kiefer mentioned that he might do a backdoor option is really confusing Kyle and Roe, because I think they assumed, well, we should be the backdoor option. Like, it would make sense for him to want to put us up. If we're his very obvious targets, which we feel like we are, then who would he backdoor? Like, well, he couldn't possibly want to backdoor Austin or Brayden, which is closer to the actual truth there, at least from Jed and Ty's perspective. But yeah, Kiefer's playing fine, but I don't love the way that he handled these conversations either. I mean, I guess, like, if you don't want to BS someone and you want them to know they're going up, they were so sure they're going up that the feeds went down for an hour and a half and people thought nominations happened. Yeah. Because they acted like they were on the block when they hadn't actually happened yet.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind it. I don't think that there's, like, an issue with them realizing that they're going up. But they were able to figure it out, which I guess in this house is a big deal. All morning long, really, Kyle and Ro were talking with Tara and Tina, They think that that Tarantino have some influence over Kiefer because he's talked about them in the way that he has, where he says they were nice to him and all that. And so they really are leaning on Tina and Tara as like, hey, can you help us out here? And of course, Tina and Tara are like, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll try. We'll do what we can. And just kind of, it's sad. It's sad to watch. They're like, can you just say that like Kyle and Roe are like the most genuine people in the house? I'm like, well, this sounds familiar. And so it's not really going to go anywhere, but they are hoping that maybe they can get Austin on the block. Austin, Vic, one of these people. All right. We got to get somebody on the block other than us.
Yeah. Tina and Tara, who it's pretty clear know more than Kyle and Roe do a pretty good job of not telling them anything that they already know. Well, I was trying to think of, you know, if the goal here is for Kiefer to get Kyle out over Roe, if the noms stay the same, I'm trying to think if that's even how the votes would go. Because I feel like, at least based on last week, a lot of the oddball sides like Kyle better.
Yes. I mean, it's basically, I don't see a strong reason, even though Tara and Tina like Kyle a little bit more. I don't think that they would break from Kiefer's wishes to vote Roe out over Kyle. And then theoretically, Kiefer should also have Ty, Jed, and Beth to vote Kyle out. Now, whether he actually does is another question, unfortunately, because they tend to not know what's good for them, as discussed. He should also have Victoria, as he's saving her life this week in many ways. But you also never really know with Victoria, and we know that she is a huge fan of Kyle and not as huge a fan of Roe. So if she was doing what she wanted, she would probably also not want Kyle to go. So it is possible that Kiefer could go and try to get Kyle out, but it really, I think, depends on what the Sunsetters do, Ty, Jed, and Beth. If they decide that they want Roe out, then I think Roe might go.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out.
Victoria, it's just not worth making an enemy of Kiefer, or like betraying Kiefer in that way, to be like, no, we're not going to go with your target. Now, they could try and talk Kiefer into letting them do what they want, but Kiefer's been pretty insistent so far.
Yeah, I think it's mostly just that Kiefer hasn't been as insistent so far with like Tina and Tara. I feel like he hasn't been really, really going around saying who his target is yet. So, I mean, it's early. We'll see. Probably a good idea to wait until after the veto anyway. But Victoria, at least for herself, like is afraid that she could be a backdoor. So she's at least a little bit self-aware.
Well, she was told to pretend that she was afraid of being a backdoor. So either she's actually afraid or she's doing the pretending. But yes, she is telling people that that she's worried that she could be the backdoor. So we have a bit of a weird scenario going on here with Tara. So Tara is going to have a conversation with Jed and then Ty. And first of all, I want to say that I think I mentioned this yesterday, but Tara's kind of been running around like she's the HOH. And for some reason, it's like it's in her head that so Toya left behind a pair of shoes.
Oh, gosh.
And Tara took it upon herself to take the shoes and put them on. And for some reason, she thinks that this is something that is worth bringing up once every hour, something like that.
Tara, not just with the shoes. Tara is the biggest person in the house for repeating every conversation, not just with like new people, but like I've heard her say the same things, like that shoe thing she told to Tina multiple times throughout the day. Oh, well, look, I've been wearing her shoes all day. And she's probably sitting out there being like, girl, get those shoes off. And I don't know if this is like she's trying to pretend. I think she just likes the shoes. I think she just likes the shoes and wants to wear the shoes. But Tara not just repeats herself, does not know when to stop in conversations. Like, she just keeps going, saying things that you really should not be saying.
Yeah. So she also is going to talk to Jed. She kind of talks about the whole Toya situation, what was happening with the vote, how much it tore her apart to have to do that to Toya. They were so close, but Toya just didn't talk to her. And the vote flipped last minute. And she kind of stumbles through the story about when the vote flipped. And Jed asks her, so had you changed your mind? Had the vote flipped when I asked you who you were voting for? And you told me that you were still voting Kiefer out. And she goes, I don't remember actually, if it was before you. You were asked by Jed who you were voting out. You said Kiefer. You don't remember. You don't remember if you had changed your mind at that point yet. Okay. Well, I do know that I hadn't been wearing Toya's shoes at that point. So
because she hadn't been voted out yet. What even? This is so ridiculous. Yeah, she really does not have her story straight with Tina. And I think she just gets in these situations where she just sort of keeps talking and talking and talking and then realizes like, oh, shoot, I'm saying things that I probably shouldn't be saying. Oh, no. How do I stop up? How do I stop? But, you know, she's like Hagrid with the like, oh, shouldn't have said that. Really shouldn't have said that. It just keeps going, just like keeps adding, thinking that like if I just keep talking, maybe it'll distract them from all the things that I'm saying.
Yeah. She didn't actually say the shoe. I think somebody in the chat was like, she didn't really say that. Did she?
No,
she did not say the shoe thing. She did say, I don't remember. But she's also going to, like, I guess she didn't get the memo that blame everything on Beth. That plan is off. And so she's talking to Jed and she's like, yeah. And I just feel like there are people in this house that are not trustworthy. And, you know, did you know that there is somebody in this house that is saying that you know Ty in real life? And Jed's like, yeah, I heard that. She's like, yeah. And did you know where it came from? Like, yeah, I got this whole thing. It's all been cleared up. Like, oh, okay. Well, just think about it. Yeah. It's weird. And then she does the same thing with Ty, but worse. Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah. She throws out Beth's name, asks Ty not to tell Beth that she said that. Meanwhile, on the other cam, Jed is upstairs talking with Beth, being like, yeah, Tara's throwing your name out there still. You told people that we know each other.
She's just like, I just sometimes don't know how to talk to you. I feel like I trust you. But I feel like you maybe could talk to somebody else that I don't trust. And Ty's like, are you talking about player A? Like, how'd you know? Yes, I was talking about player A. And she says, yeah, I just don't trust Beth. And look, I'm only telling you this because I'm trying to look out for you. I like you. I respect you. I'm trying to look out for you. I'm trying to give you a heads up here that you just got to watch out.
Yeah. And then she's like, yeah, you know, I don't trust Beth. The person I trust the most is Tina. Tina's probably the only person I trust. Why are you volunteering this information? Like, this is not the HOH. They're not asking you specific questions. There's no reason to just say you've made a couple comparisons to Big Brother 19, and people have a fault of like also declaring who their ride or dies are in this house.
Well,
you don't need to do that though.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, they're also declaring it just with their actions as well. That like,
right.
There are so many pairs that just like they can't stop hanging out together.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. There's a part later on where Ro and Kyle are like, we're not going to hang out as much with Boston and Brayden tonight. And then they just only hang out with them for the rest of the night.
I swear, this whole house is full of introverts. Like they can handle being in the company of not their partner in the game. But for the most part, they're just like, nope, I'm just clinging to my person. This makes me feel more comfortable. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Tara, I hate all the lying in the house. I refuse to throw people under the bus. Oh, except for Beth. Let me throw her under the bus a little bit more. Yeah. Just repeats that a bunch over and over.
Kyle is going to talk with Austin. And this is kind of funny because, there has been Kyle, I think I talked about this when it first started. Kyle was trying to flirt with Austin and she was kind of like, not about that. Cause Austin is not about the flirt life, at all. So he understood that he needed to dial it back. But you can tell that the flirt mode is his go-to. And so now that he was doing very well with Austin, and I think he still is doing very well with Austin, but now that the chips are down and he needs something from Austin, you can see that he's kind of defaulting to flirty mode again. And he's kind of so the veto, if you were to win it, you'd want to take me down, right? And he's going to work on her. He starts off with obviously that might put you in an awkward spot. I wouldn't want you to have to do it. And then 10 minutes later, he's gotten to the point where he's like, oh, I'd be so cheesed if you didn't use the veto on me, in a joking way. And she's still a little bit hesitant. I don't know. It could put me in an awkward spot. He's trying.
Yeah, he's trying. Austin really gives him nothing in this conversation. And I think it's pretty clear, for Austin and Brayden, they're thinking, we have no reason to take them down because then we'll just probably get put up.
Yeah.
And if that happens, which in the other room is literally Kiefer and Jed and Ty being like, haha, if someone comes down, we'll put Austin or Brayden up. So it really doesn't make any sense for them. And I get where Kyle's coming at this from a flirty perspective, but it's kind of with the two sides. You can see your own pair and you can sort of they see where the other pairs are. Everybody feels well, their pair is not as close as our pair, obviously. So we could probably pull them away from their pair for no incentive. Go to Victoria. I mean, tell Victoria, hey, if you win, because she's the one who probably is most likely in the house if she won veto to actually use it, because she doesn't really have a buddy that she's trying to protect.
Yeah, Victoria has just vanished. The whole oddballs thing and the fact that she named it, it's becoming clear that this was all a fantasy of Victoria's and that these people were never with her. They have just abandoned ship. Even the Glossy Posse, in this conversation, this is when, Kyle's talking to Austin about how Vic is convinced that she threw the HOH, and she's like, yeah, she's pissed at me and Brayden. It's so annoying. And she is just out there on an island.
Yeah, that really didn't. I guess maybe if somebody leaves, then they have a spot open to become her partner.
We'll
that
see.
Would never happen. Kyle's gonna kind of do some weird flirting tactics with Austin. How do you feel about the toes?
I mean, you always go for if Enzo has taught us anything, it's that the toes are the doorway to, I don't know, Enzo's heart?
Yeah, let's wait and see where you're going with that. I don't think we need that. There's a really great couple minutes where Kyle is trying to intertwine his toes with Austin, and then Beth comes in and just lays down next to her and drapes herself over, and Austin looks so uncomfortable by both situations, just wants to get out of there.
Look, at least we're not talking about Splenda, right? Yeah.
You know what I like to do? I like to put some mustard in some water. Pretend it's orange juice.
Nice. Yeah.
That was pretty funny, too.
So Kyle and Ro are going to be nominated here, obviously, eventually. As you mentioned, Kiefer does say that the Austin is the replacement nominee. If one of them comes down, Austin's the replacement. But in Kiefer's mind, the other guy will be the target, either Ro or Kyle, whoever remains on the block. It was very funny. Ty and Jed were celebrating after the nomination ceremony. They were very happy and they're just like, oh man, I can't believe Kiefer's such a savage. I can't believe he's making such a big move. Like, this is so nuts. It's like, no, Kiefer's not a savage. This is not even this is Big Brother. You guys are playing patty cakes with Kyle and Ro when you should be doing this yourself.
It's like anyone in Faute talking about how they were like the best players of all time, which got brought up a couple times. Like, oh, Fessy, this is like a top 10 move. You're doing so well. Look at you getting Scotty out. No one would ever. Yeah, Kiefer is really, he's like, I'm going full villain. Oh, I remember I was so soft last week, but I'm being such a savage this week. I don't even care. I don't even feel bad that I'm putting the other side up. Yeah, you shouldn't. I mean, like, if you're actually in on a side, this is what you do in Big Brother. You put the other side up. It's not supposed to be big happy house where everybody's nice. And what about what you're doing makes you feel like you're not even being particularly brutal about it. You're not even like, yeah, you guys are up and screw you. No, he's like still being pretty like calm, cool, calm and collected to Ro and Kyle, who he did even have a big blow up with last week in the pantry. And so he has like every reason, even emotionally, to want to put them up. So it's just one of my biggest pet peeves in Big Brother is people talking about how great of players they are, like in the grand scheme of Big Brother, when it's very clear they have never watched the grand scheme of Big Brother and mm-hmm. wouldn't even know like what a good player is. Like, what season have they watched where this makes them feel like they are playing so savage and so amazing? I don't know.
Exactly. Curious. Yeah. There's just there's nothing there. And it's very silly. It's very just, really, guys. And the thing too, is that they feel we couldn't do this move ourselves, right? Like, it's a good thing Kiefer is doing this. And it is a good thing that Kiefer, it's better for them that Kiefer's doing it than them doing it. Sure. But here's the problem. This morning, they were talking again about maybe we could save both of them and get Austin out. If you save them, then now you have to do this. And we know that you aren't capable of it. What do you mean save them? Why? They so clearly want to work with Kyle and Ro, but also they don't want to work with Kyle and Ro. But they clearly want to work with Kyle and Ro. And it's just like, this is the worst will they, won't they plot I've ever seen in Big Brother.
I think they just are talking too much about the pretty boys. You know, they're talking to Kiefer and they're like, oh, Kiefer, you're the Mark and Beth is the whoever the other one was. Who's the fourth one? Dane. Wow, forgot about Dane for a second there. Yikes. But, you know, they're talking about that and they're like, yeah, but you know what would be even more like the pretty boys? If we actually had Kyle and Ro. And it was actually
We got rid of Kiefer and replaced him with Kyle and Ro.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be better for them. Because we know how silly it is to get a big guy out on the block in the fourth week.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, come on. Just these two have been after you since the feeds turned on. Like, come on.
Yeah, I don't know. And they also aren't like talking to Kyle and Ro that much. This is a thing that they have in their head. Mm-hmm. They haven't even really followed through on Kiefer's plan of like, go talk to Kyle and Ro.
Yeah, well, they did talk to Ro this morning, but I'll talk about it more tomorrow. Somebody in the chat also asked, they did talk more about the ball pit and some of the weird balls that they've been finding. I've already kind of talked on this, but like people have been finding these like oddly shaped balls with numbers on them, like all kinds of different things in the ball pit since, you know, week one, or since it was introduced, basically.
Yeah, but nobody seems to find them until they're in trouble, because LaToya started finding them when she was in trouble.
The camera isn't on them until, like, the internet is going to blow up and be like, oh, what?
Yeah, the Kyle and Ro find some, and they're talking about it, and then Austin's like, yeah, I found those week one. Like, those have been around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh.
It's just, I've been saying this from the start. This is not going to do anything until production decides to say, all right, it's time for this to do something. So until that happens, every single week people are going to be like, oh, are they going to find the thing? It's
like
not
it to mean nothing so that we can try and get people off the idea that whenever there's something weird in the house that it has to mean something.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Production will give us a heads up as well. Like on an episode, they'll be like, and this week, something exciting is going to happen with the ball pit. And then it'll be like, okay, now we know. Now they're going to find the same balls, and it's going to be a quest to find all of the weird balls. And it's going to be a whole thing. So. That's what I expect.
Yep. Other than that, like the evening was not super, super interesting. No. Yeah, there's a lot of conversations just with people who are already paired up. I think, you know, most people are just kind of waiting for the veto to see what happens. Carb still thinks they could somehow make a Beth backdoor happen. I don't know how. Kiefer does joke enough about like, oh, if Austin or Bray win the veto and use it, the other one will just get put up, that I don't think that it's a non-zero possibility right now that Kiefer could be somehow swayed by Jed and Ty to actually target Bray or Austin this week.
Well, I think that it's possible that Austin could be the target. I think that if Austin wins the veto, there's no way she's using it because Kiefer would say, don't do this. I'll put Brayden up and she won't use it. Right. But if Kyle or Ro win the veto, Austin will be going up. And at that point, I do think it's possible that that Ty, Jed and Beth talk enough to Kiefer about convincing him that Austin needs to go, especially if the votes aren't really there without those three anyway, which is theoretically possible depending on who they're on the block next to. From the beginning of the week, we've said there's three people that could go home this week. I think that is still true today. Kyle, Ro, Austin are the three people that could go home this week. It's still possible, but it's most likely Kyle, second most likely Ro, third most likely Austin. And I don't think anybody else is going home. And that's what we got.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That's what we got either. Well, like I said, slower day here, but that's okay. We're going to get through the week. I still think, Kiefer winning was still probably the best that we have here. A split house is most fun when it splits, and then it can get a little predictable, especially when the gameplay is a little bit subpar. But we still have a fun cast here, and I expect that we'll have a lot more fun bouncing back and forth throughout the season. So don't worry too much. Don't worry too much. We'll have some fun here. And that's what we got. So I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. I'll also be live in about 2 hours to talk about The Circle UK season 3. It's been very fun so far, so make sure you come and check that podcast out if you haven't already. You already probably have a VPN to watch Big Brother Canada 9, so just switch over to the UK and watch some Circle. It's a lot of fun. I'll also be live tonight with some Among Us and tomorrow with some more Among Us with some mods, stuff like that on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. And then, of course, Monday night, we'll have our Monday night recap. Tuesday, we'll get to the round table and we'll have a lot of fun there. Mary, where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere at Frail Mary. I have just discovered that people have been making like original songs to Among Us with really cute animations on YouTube. And I didn't know that was a thing, and they're all stuck in my head. So I highly recommend looking up Among Us songs if you're interested in Among Us, because really, really cute, really cute. You can find me everywhere at Frail Mary. Check out my Twitter to see links to everything else that I've been doing. Hasn't changed from week to week. So, you know, just hanging out. Glad that we've got some stuff going on in the spring. It's been a fun ride.
Yes. All right. Well, that's what we have for you guys. Thank you so much for joining us today, and see you next time.